Today is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. Now, the epistle to be read today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians, his first epistle, chapter 1. Brethren, we give thanks to God for you all, making a remembrance of you in our prayers without ceasing, being mindful of the work of your faith and labor and charity, and of the enduring of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election, for our gospel hath not been unto you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much fullness, as you know, what manner of men we have been among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in much tribulation with joy and of the Holy Ghost, so that you were made a pattern to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you was spread abroad the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith, which is towards God, has gone forth, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves relate of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised up from the dead, Jesus, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is the least indeed of all the seeds, but when it is grown up, it is greater than all the herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and dwell in the branches thereof. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, until the whole was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke in parables to the multitudes, and without parables he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which is the least indeed of all seeds, but when it is grown up, it is greater than all the herbs. Words taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to begin by telling you about a bombing, tremendous destruction, and a church. The bombing and tremendous destruction were that done upon the city of Cologne, Germany, during World War II. While the church is the magnificent Gothic Cathedral Church of St. Peter in Cologne, which construction began in the mid-13th century and was only completed in the year 1880. But between the years 1942 and 1945, the British Air Force made 262 air raids upon this city. Which German city was the most beautiful and among the most ancient? And the purpose, the British claimed, was to both destroy Germany's war industry and to deprive the German people of their homes and their livelihoods in order to crush their spirits. By 1945, over 34,000 bombs had been dropped onto the city, producing such devastation that it looked as if an atomic bomb had gone off. Factories, hospitals, rail depots, bridges, schools, and thousands upon thousands of homes were destroyed, while over 20,000 German civilians were killed during these cruel bombings. In 1954, an American Catholic priest wrote of the British bombings of Cologne. 80%, he said, of the vast city was completely destroyed. Whole city blocks had been pulverized by the powerful explosions. Homes, shops, all manner of buildings reduced to rubble. And in 1950, bodily remains of German people were still being discovered beneath all the debris and dust. But he went on to write, one building and one building alone, though damaged, nonetheless stood tall and grand. The majestic and the magnificent Gothic Cathedral of St. Peter. It remained in the midst of the unprecedented destruction that had surrounded it. Now, in today's gospel, the church presents to us the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. The kingdom of heaven, our Lord said, is like to a grain of mustard seed, which is the least indeed of all the seeds, but when it is grown up, it is greater than all the herbs. The meaning, my dear friends, of these parables is this. The kingdom of heaven is the church. The growth of the church and its spreading throughout the whole world is symbolized by the mustard seed. Though the smallest of seeds, yet it grows into the tallest of herbs. The parable of the leaven contains the same message. Something small grows into something extensive and significant. When the church began, it was like a mustard seed. It was small and insignificant. For the church began in the humblest of circumstances, in an upper room in Jerusalem. But with the coming of the Holy Ghost on that first Pentecost Sunday, the church came forth and began her mission of converting the whole world to Christ and the one true faith. Beginning on Pentecost with the apostles and down through the centuries, the Catholic Church has grown from a mustard seed, as it were, to a giant herb. In other words, what began in Jerusalem has spread over the whole earth. And this is in spite of almost 2,000 years of overwhelming opposition, malice, hatred, bloody persecutions, heresy, schism. The Catholic Church has endured these and so many other evils and spread to even the farthest corners of the earth. Humanly speaking, my dear friends, the church, like all the great empires of old, should have been completely destroyed. Humanly speaking, she should not have survived these 2,000 years. But as the cathedral church in Cologne survived 3 years of incessant bombing, and thus stood tall and majestic in the midst of widespread destruction around it, so has the Catholic Church survived 2,000 years of persecution, both bloody and unbloody, as well as the numerous heresies and schisms, and has thus stood tall and majestic in the midst of the bombing, as it were, all around her. And the reason, my dear friends, the reason why the church has survived and will survive until the very end of time is because the Catholic Church is the one true church established by Christ for the salvation of all men. The Catholic Church will thus endure in this world until the very end of time. She is indestructible. Neither the powers of hell nor the strength of man will ever prevail against the Church. Oh, they have certainly tried over the centuries, and they have certainly done some damage, but they cannot nor will not destroy the Church from the face of the earth. It is impossible. It is impossible for them to do that because Christ is the head of the Church, and the Holy Ghost is the soul of the Church. The Church is thus a divine institution, and she is therefore indestructible. She is indestructible and even indefectible. By indefectible, I mean the Church is unchangeable in her dogmatic and moral teachings. She is unchangeable in her constitution, and she is unchangeable in her liturgy. Now, some here may wonder if that is true, just as so many Catholic people today wonder, how can that be true in light of what has happened after Vatican II? In other words, for the last 60 years or so, on account of all the changes made after Vatican II to the Mass, to the sacraments, to Catholic teaching, to the very Catholic way of life, there has been an unprecedented loss of faith and morals among both clergy and millions upon millions of Catholic people. How did this happen? The answer is actually quite simple. The heresy of modernism, a heresy which was condemned by Pope St. Pius X just over 100 years ago. Simply put, modernists are those bishops, modernists are those priests, modernists are those lay people who would change the Catholic religion into a new religion. And this, my dear people, is precisely what happened since Vatican II. The Vatican II, that council, and its 16 documents drew up the charter for a new false religion. And they then successfully, in the wake of Vatican II, in the years that followed, they seized control of the external institutions of the Church, seminaries, churches, schools, universities, but most especially, the Vatican itself. And they and their successors today have substituted a new false religion in our so-called Catholic parishes today for the true Catholic faith. And this they do, as I say, in what once were Catholic institutions. They have replaced the true Mass with an ambiguous and unholy rite of Mass. They have a new code of canon law which sanctions sacrilege against the Holy Eucharist. They have new doctrines such as one religion is as good as another. And they have a new morality in regard to marriage and purity. Marriage annulments today, for the most part, are no more than a kind of approval for divorce, while the majority of so-called Catholics have the opinion that the use of artificial contraception is not a mortal sin, and it can be done. And this they knowingly do, contrary to Catholic moral teaching. And what is perhaps worse, my dear people, is the recent promotion and the sanction of unnatural vice and an unspeakable immorality by the so-called Pope Francis in his recent synod on synodality, which was really nothing more than a synod on evil. It is so revolting and scandalous, I cannot even mention it here in the chapel. But understand this. If you change the way people worship, you will change what they believe. And if you change what they believe, you will change how they behave. And this is what they did. This is what the modernists did. And thus, there is today an unprecedented destruction of faith and morals. But my dear friends, we must never forget, in the midst of all this destruction, that we are members of the Church of Christ. We are members of the Catholic Church, the only church established by Christ. This is our hope. This is our confidence. As the cathedral church in Cologne, Germany, stood tall and majestic despite the constant bombings and destruction, so the Catholic Church stands tall and majestic today, despite the extensive damage done by evil men who have seized her external institutions to promote their new and monstrous religion. May we be ever grateful to God, my dear people, that He has in His mercy preserved us in the faith and made us members of His church, the Catholic Church. May we ever strive to be faithful to Him and obedient to His commandments. And may we have such a confidence in His love and mercy for us. For we have chapels where the true Mass is still offered and true sacraments are received. We have a seminary where Catholic priests are validly ordained. We have a convent of dedicated religious sisters. We have the true faith, and we are members of the true church. May we be ever faithful and grateful to God for His generous blessings. Let us then, in our gratitude, ever strive to love God more than anyone or anything, even as we persevere in the daily practice of our holy faith, praying our rosary every day to obtain the protection of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.